Don't mind me.
I just don't understand why he wouldn't show up to this party.
I can't believe you caught me before I. Oh, whoops. Sorry about
that.
That
was just a reenactment of the movie Rope.
Yeah, well, let me tell you what was going to happen was I couldn't get the stupid image to show up back here. So I'm like, I have the solution. So I put a piece of rope hanging from the TV instead. And Rock was like, that's not going to do it. So I had to figure it out. Which I'm glad because we did figure it out.
We did.
That's why I have rope here. Not to murder Rocco. Don't worry.
We have found a tech. I'm going to give everyone out there some tech advice. We have lots of things that just stop working or don't work for no reason.
If you are watching us in any capacity, you've seen it happen live, I'm sure. Yeah,
our camera won't turn on.
The theme song doesn't have music
for some
reason.
Theme song won't have music for no reason at all. This won't turn on for no reason. And we have found everything here will work and can be fixed by one simple trick. I'm letting everyone know. It's called Beetlejuice method. And that is do it three times.
Mm-hmm.
If you do it three times, it just starts working. It makes no sense, but it has happened so many times here. The camera won't be recognized. Unplug it. Plug it back in. Unplug it. You do it three times. Oh, there it is. Or this.
It's so dumb.
I'm telling you, that has solved every problem here. The Beetlejuice method. Also, before we get to the main event, we are stocked at the studio with Nintendo Capri Suns. Yeah, we have Mario Kart 8. Fruit Punch. It's actually not very good, but it is in Nintendo artwork.
Capri Sun. I don't know.
I remember these being real good, and this is not that good.
You were like a kid.
Yeah, but I have good memory. I have a lot of memories of when I was a kid.
Yeah.
It didn't taste like this.
Johnny and Rocco were like disappointed. Oh, what happened? It's like, this is what it's always been. This is what it tastes like.
Mm-mm. These used to be way better. What did they do? And you know what? I think it's the government. They want to keep us unhappy.
Yeah.
So that you get Civil War II and they rake in the profits.
So they can, that A24 movie can make the most money.
I don't know what A24 is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, hi.
Shakers, let's get to it.
Let's talk about a movie that I have never seen. Have you seen it before?
I had seen it before.
You had?
Yes, because a long time ago. A million years ago when they only had regular Blu-ray. Can you imagine a time before 4K Blu-ray?
Ooh, shudder to
it's
think
like
about
the old it's like the old West.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got a Hitchcock box set and it was full of movies I had never heard of. You know, you had the heavy hitters.
Yeah.
You got your Psychos, you got your Birdses, but it had movies I'd never heard of. Family Plot, you know, what's that?
What's
I don't know what that
plot?
Is.
I don't know.
I think that was the last movie. But a whole bunch of stuff. And then it had a movie called Rope. And I'm like, well, you know, Jimmy Stewart. How do you go wrong with Jimmy Stewart?
You don't.
So I played it and I was struck by it because I was like, this is like a 1948 movie, I think.
Yeah, this is 1948.
And it's not cutting.
Yeah.
Is this a one-take movie? And the answer is no.
But they tried their best.
But Hitchcock wanted it to be a one-take movie. Ooh, technology-wise, that's not really possible. Okay, well, we're going to do the film mag is 10 minutes. We're going to go the whole 10 minutes. I don't want to cut the scene. And then what we'll do is we'll try to make it look like there's no cut. Like the camera will get really close to someone's back and then we continue from there. And I just thought that was so clever.
Yeah.
Now, was it an actual good movie? Was it not? I couldn't remember that. But I remember just being impressed by how they made it, you know, so.
I also bought a Alfred Hitchcock box set, but it wasn't digital. It was on iTunes. But they just upscaled the thing I already bought to 4K.
They do it for free. Yeah.
I did not realize that. So I bought this thing. It was $20.
Oh,
it was
wow,
on Black
wow.
Friday
yeah,
sale,
yeah.
whatever. But it came with a Family Plot. Haven't seen that. Frenzy. Haven't seen that. The Man Who Knew Too Much. Psycho. Rope. Shadow of a Doubt. Topaz. The Trouble with Harry. And maybe something else. But it's like, that's a lot of movies for $20. I just went for it because I
Isn't
haven't
that awesome?
Seen most. Yeah, really cool.
Supposedly, I know everyone at home is tired of hearing me bring it up, but supposedly when the Apple Vision Pro drops, the movies that can be that are in 3D are a free update too. Like if you have that, it'll be like, oh, hey, this movie, Avatar, you already have it? It's in 3D now.
Dang.
And there was a brief moment, people may not remember, this is just a little bit of alternate other history, not related to Rope. There was a brief moment on the iTunes store and other storefronts like that, that all the movies popped into 4K except anything to do with Disney.
Mm.
And you know what it was? Why it was?
Why?
Is Disney was the one telling Apple, no, why would we do it for free? People would just buy it again.
Oh.
And Apple was like, come on.
If Apple's telling you to come on, then you fucked up.
And that was a dispute. And eventually Disney went, all right, fine. Like, they were like, yo, no one cares this much. Like every other studio is doing this. Like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. So anyway, but yeah, it is cool whenever you see a movie get updated like that. And it's happened to a few.
I was watching. I was like, oh, what the fuck? I didn't know. Yeah. That's cool. So yep. Nice surprise for me.
Yep.
All right. So I had never seen this movie before. I love Alfred Hitchcock. It's so weird. I love Alfred Hitchcock, but I haven't seen so many of his movies.
Yeah.
And now there's no reason. I bought this like a year ago and I still haven't watched it. But like, I love Rear Window. I love Psycho. I love Vertigo. North by Northwest is pretty good. I love The Birds. But that's it. Like, what? I should watch these other ones. What am I doing? I don't know why I haven't. I don't know.
Strangers on a Train is cool.
Never seen it.
He's got a handful that are like underrated, but they didn't have the like OMG factor like Psycho did, so you don't hear about him as much. Yeah, but he's done a lot of great stuff.
Yeah. So this is a movie I have heard about. I didn't know. I thought it was on a train, but then I think I was confusing Strangers on a Train.
Yeah.
With this, which I want to see. Rocco was explaining that to me. That sounds fucking cool. So I want to watch that. But this movie, Rope, came out again in 1948, and it's based off of a 1929 play, which makes sense because this is definitely a play.
Yeah, and that's what kind of drew me to it too. I know it's antithetical to film and what you could do with it and all the tricks you could do with it, but I'm always impressed when a movie is just a play. Like, damn, they're not breaking proscenium.
And that is, Rocco, you've always, as long as I've known you, you've loved a movie that's a play.
And I realize what it is I love when you can do big shit with little of anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when a movie is just essentially a play, if you fuck that up, it's the most agonizing thing to watch ever. But that's what I mean. I'm almost more impressed than anything if you could do it, but still have it be like, oh, that was really good. Yeah. You know, then it's like, wow, it was so little you did that. But I had this big revelation watching over the Christmas break. I watched a movie, a Russian movie, Stalker by Andrei Tarkovsky. Is that how you say his name? Someone will correct me in the comments. He also did Solaris, which I also really loved.
Mm.
And Solaris, guy goes out to a, you might like, maybe, I honestly, maybe it will say little. It's a fucking slow movie, but it's space. It's something happens in space that shouldn't be happening. Mm. And you might like it, but I don't know. But Stalker is, just to go in, we're not talking about that movie today, obviously, but it's just three guys hearing about, hey, there's this incredible thing out here. Sci-fi concept you can't believe. It's over there, and I'm going to march you there. And the whole movie is just them talking on the way there.
Hmm.
You don't really see any sci-fi shit in the movie, really. A little bit, but not really. But it's all about like their anxieties and their and it's, what are you going to do when you get there? Well, I'm going to do this. You're really going to do that? Why would you do that? I don't know. And I'm like, damn, this movie had no budget. This movie had no effects, but it's a great sci-fi movie. Mm-hmm. And they almost don't even give you the sci-fi. But that impressed me. You know what I mean? It's like with nothing but like walking through a field, you made the concept huge.
Yeah,
just by talking about it.
And that is interesting. And I do always appreciate that. Whether like the movie Saw.
Yeah.
That's not my kind of movie.
Yeah.
But I do recognize like, yo, that's pretty cool.
Super clever movie. Yeah.
And like, it's been a while since I saw it. And they definitely leave that room.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But most of it takes place in that one room.
Yeah. And it made me, that's not my kind of movie either. But when it was over, I was like, that's such a clever use of very little. That movie, what was the budget on it? It was like in the thousands or something.
Yeah.
And it became a billion-dollar
now
thing.
Now there'll be 10 of them, you know.
Yeah, so I really love that kind of thing, is with a germ of almost nothing, you take my imagination to the biggest places possible.
Yeah.
And that's what struck me about Rope. Whether you like it or not, I love that they do a lot with just one little set and a director with a great idea, you know? And I really like
this
that.
This is the second time that in his career that Hitchcock used a limited setting for a movie. Mm. The first one was the movie Lifeboat, which I've not seen either. But I think it just takes place on a lifeboat, and that's it.
Okay. Yeah, I never saw that.
Me neither, but it sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Also, I'm sure it's a pain in the ass to film.
Yeah.
Like this, I kind of feel like this probably wasn't fun to film. There must have been, there was a lot of pressure on the actors because the takes were so long and film was expensive. So if you got like 8 minutes in and you fucked it up, it's like, do it again. It's like, I'm sorry. You know, like,
yeah,
that's a lot of pressure on people who are behind the scenes in front of the camera.
I think of the dialogue, and I also think of whoever's pulling focus on that camera.
Yes.
It's like, oh, great performance. I didn't focus it.
Well, I read a thing that in one of the takes, the dolly rolled over some guy's foot, breaking it.
Oh.
But they just covered his mouth and dragged him off of the set.
Yeah.
And the actors kept going, and they used that take.
Oh.
He didn't realize that happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Also, another scene apparently where a woman like puts her drink down but misses the thing and is falling, and someone jumped and caught the glass before it could make a sound, and that wasn't seen. They used that take as well, or something like that.
Wow. Well, what blew me away, I don't know how much you looked into or whatever. I watched a whole behind the scenes documentary
on this.
And the biggest challenge apparently of filming this movie. So again, he tried to make it as one take as possible.
Right.
So it's not actually all one take, but just every scene, every 10 minutes is just kind of one long take.
Yeah.
And the biggest challenge was getting around camera gear because, oh my God, Sean, I should find it for you. This was shot in Technicolor.
Right. This is Alfred Hitchcock's first color movie.
Yes. And have you seen the camera?
No.
I mean, you may want to look up the next thing. Let's see. Early Technicolor.
Well, I will tell you while you're doing that, the length of, because there are 10 takes or 10 cuts in this movie, and that's it.
Yes.
The first take is 9 minutes, 34 seconds, then 7 minutes, 51 seconds, 7 minutes, 7 minutes, 10 minutes, 7 minutes, 7 minutes, 10 minutes. Like, that's a long-ass fucking scene to have to memorize and do. And a lot of the cutting, too, it's like, it tells you how they cut. And it's like, they panned off to Kenneth's back and all the way, and then they zoom out.
Yeah.
Just to make it seem like it wasn't that.
I love that.
That's the camera?
That is the camera. People at home, if you want to look up early Technicolor camera, it is, it's like someone attached the camera to the development place. It's like a Walgreens attached to a camera. It's the biggest fucking camera you've ever seen.
It looks like if you took two of those TVs and stacked them on top of each other, and it probably was as thick as one of these cubes, like that thick.
It makes Christopher Nolan's IMAX camera look like a flip video. It's so fucking big.
It reminds me, looking at this picture, of what you were wearing in our Death Stranding video, or like that, all like that huge,
like the backpack.
Yeah,
it's titanic.
Wow.
And so that's what they had to work around. They said the hardest challenge of it was doing one take, and then they said not only was the camera big, they had to lay down big ass cables.
Big ass cables.
So they said that was the hardest thing. Is like, okay, you're in charge of the cables. You got the camera, whatever. There were so many ingredients to fuck up.
And then, like, the dolly, the focus, as you were saying, the actors.
Can't mess up anything.
They had to, like, also, like, I can see now, when they were, like, using the dolly, they had to, like, put different walls in certain places in that time because they had to, like, while they were still recording.
Yep.
That's crazy. Yeah, I would definitely watch a documentary on this movie. That's interesting.
It was awesome. It was awesome. And in that documentary, too, they also talked about, we'll get into this a little bit, but I believe it was the man who wrote the script.
Yeah.
Said, you know, I adapted a book, and at its core, this movie is about homosexuality.
I saw that, and I was truly shocked by it. And I guess, actually, it was banned being seen in a few states.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because of that, didn't even register to me.
Yeah, I'm just like, this is a compelling, you know, watching a Hitchcock movie.
And it really...
Yeah, I watched that and was like, oh.
But now that I think about it, yeah, Brandon and Philip were together. But
They lived together.
They were always so close, but I thought they were just trying to keep quiet or whatever. Yeah. But it does track, but I didn't pick up on it, truly. Until I read it here, I'm like, oh, if I watch it again, maybe I would see it more.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, even like, okay, I saw some article being like, oh, I thought they shared a bedroom, but like the cleaning lady's like, oh, no, I cleaned the first bedroom, so I'm assuming there's another one, but I had no idea. I didn't consider it.
The screenwriter kept calling it. He's like, no one even wanted to acknowledge that in
1948,
the studio,
of course, not.
Or whatever. So whenever it came up, it was it.
It.
So how much is this movie going to touch on it?
Oh, really?
Oh, you know, well, da 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 da. Okay, because we don't want too much of it. He's like. So that in every interview, he's just like, yeah, you know, and then this scene, you know, I kind of snuck in a little bit of it and da, 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 you know, he just he kept that gag going.
Interesting.
But
well,
isn't that crazy?
There was I saw some take on it where it's like Alfred Hitchcock always kind of loved to address certain like weird, I guess at the time, taboo things.
Yes. Yeah.
Especially
when
it comes to sexuality.
Yep.
Even like the whole thing with the psycho and like his mom, and that's like super weird. Like that, what is that? You know, like there is a lot of weird little things implied in Psycho.
That was
which was taboo. And this at the time was taboo.
Super taboo. And Psycho was just a man dressing
like a woman.
As a woman.
Yeah.
And they have to like in the body of the movie itself, in the last 10 minutes, a guy has to like parse through that.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? I don't know. You know, and I think he says like transsexual or does he say transvestite? He uses some old term that was just, is that what was going on here? Oh, I don't know. Who knows? But like no one's brain could even process shit.
Which, I do appreciate that even back then he's making people like see.
Yeah.
What's out
there
in the world.
Yeah. Don't get comfortable.
Maybe
you know,
even like. And on this, like, they don't call attention to it, you know, but it made sense when I read it. It's like, oh, yeah, this is it. They are together. Okay.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
It almost honestly makes more sense to me.
Yeah.
In the sense of, like, how did, like, this whole movie is fucking, first off, very stressful.
Yeah.
You know, but, like, it made sense in this, like, watching them, like, yeah, how they interacted with each other. They were so intimate.
Yeah.
I just like, oh, I pick up on it now, but I didn't then.
And that was another thing they kind of changed, I think, in the screenplay, too, was, we're kind of, I guess, getting our heart of ourselves a little bit, because we want to get through the story, but the two guys who committed this murder, one change for the movie was definitely making it sort of, the guy's a little more joyful, you know. He said, originally, it was like, they were both like, fuck, what do we do? Like, they're both like, and he's like, that wasn't fun. He's like, no. You had to have, and again,
both
it's like,
the coin.
And it's like, gay, he's like, and in my mind, he's like, it was a gay relationship. You had this guy handles things a certain way, but he's always reassured by the guy that's like, oh, baby, we're having fun, baby. Well, you know, what are we doing? Who, you know, we're not thinking about that, you know? So, just an interesting dynamic, interesting stuff that you notice once you kind of hear from the screenwriter.
Thought the dynamic of those two, first off, great acting.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because now I'm like, man, what else has this guy been in?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
The guy who plays Brandon? Is that the one who is the cocky one about it, like not upset? Philip, I thought, was the one who was concerned. Let's see. Yeah, Brandon. I thought... At first, I'm watching this movie. I'm like, and it says starring James Stewart, and I haven't seen James Stewart in the first like 28 minutes of this movie.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
yeah.
Is that a young James Stewart? I don't think so.
Like, what does he look like in this movie?
Right, but like, could that be no? And then all of a sudden, I walked in, like, oh, thank God, I was looking for him. But yeah, I thought that John Dahl is his name. What else is like? It's so weird. It's like we're finding this now. It's like, oh yeah, he died. In 1971, he was 50. You know, like, it was just crazy. But,
Time's a bitch.
He was in Spartacus.
Oh, okay.
I never saw Spartacus. Have you seen that?
I am Spartacus.
Okay. Have you seen it though?
Again, I am Spartacus.
He was nominated for The Corn is Green for a Best Supporting Actor. So he was established.
Oh, okay.
And that was 1945. So he was already an established actor by the time he was in this movie.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he was great. Okay. So let's go into the plot. Although, I will be real. It doesn't, you know, we could go through the plot very quickly. Like, it's not like it's a pretty.
Yeah, this movie is not even an hour and a half.
And the elevator pitch of this movie, I'm sure, is pretty short. Like it's.
Yeah.
But just like why I love Hitchcock is like it was at times so suspenseful.
Yes.
And it
was. They call him the master of suspense.
I was like, fuck, dude. And there was one shot we'll get into later that I was just like, oh, like, and it's weird because he does this thing a lot of the times where like, you don't know how to feel because obviously you don't like that these two killed this person and you want them to have justice served.
Yeah.
But also you feel worried for them.
Yeah.
And I don't know how he does this well, where it's just like, I'm stressing out. Whereas like, I don't know why, cause I want you to be caught.
Yeah.
But also like, oh fuck.
It's
interesting. Anyways, the movie starts off second one outside a window. And this is the only time that you're outside of this apartment room, you know, essentially. And you hear a scream, and then you see a guy get murdered. And then
cut into the inside the apartment.
Yeah.
Real quick, yes. I know I'm already stopping.
No, please.
That outside shot. So the whole movie takes place inside the apartment and does not leave.
Yeah.
And they were like, Hitchcock, Mr. Hitchcock, you always do a cameo in your movies.
Right.
How are you going to do this one? How are you going to do it? It's just these people in an apartment and never leaves. And he's like, don't worry, I got an idea. And he did a fluorescent, you know, outside their apartment, there's neon lights.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
whatever. And there's one of Alfred Hitchcock, the classic silhouette. Oh, do, that's in like his TV show. You know what I mean? That there's a, big neon sign outside.
Interesting.
And then they shot the movie, and it's like, you're going to get a shot of that? And he's like, that's too corny, isn't it? He was going to get a big shot of that. No. So you kind of see it out of focus in the back, maybe kinda. Once or twice, maybe. Mm. And then when the movie came out, they played it, and there was this opening no one had seen that's outside the apartment, and Hitchcock walks down the street in that opening shot.
Oh, he does.
And they're like, did he fucking add that just so he could be in the movie? So that's the debate. Because it doesn't leave any other time.
It doesn't.
And everyone's like, wasn't the whole gimmick? It never is outside the apartment building.
There's no way.
He added him walking down the street. They added that.
No way.
The rumor is that maybe he added that I got to get in there, you know, but he didn't want, he thought it was too cheeky kind of showing that sign. But you could faintly, if you see a red, looks like a crescent moon kind of thing. That's his face.
Did you have to see him? Couldn't you hear him? Does that count as a cameo or no? Because you could have him be one of the voices at the end.
You gotta see him.
You gotta see the man. I guess so. Anyway. Well.
Yeah, I have seen Spartacus.
Oh, how was it?
It's great.
Okay. I had no interest in that one for some reason. It's just like, is that long? Like a Ben-Hur type situation?
I don't think it was. Mm. I think I thought it was too, and it wasn't.
Is there like some movies that turn me off just by the runtime? Which that's not a shock to people here.
I did get the 4K of the Ten Commandments, and that shit's like 4 hours.
I can't do this.
Hey, Easter's coming up, so is Movie Club. Uh-huh. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not doing the Ten Commandments.
I'm saying.
Fuck that.
That's all I'm saying.
4 hours of that.
Thou shalt not kill.
Oh, God. Oh,
it's Charlton Heston.
I know.
4 hours of Charlton Heston is nothing but a good thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay.
Get ready. Easter's coming.
You know who went on record with not liking this movie was James Stewart.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. He said he found the whole process exasperating and said the really important thing being rehearsed here was the camera, not the actors. Much later in life, he said, it was worth trying. Nobody but Hitch would have tried it, but it really didn't work, is what he said.
Yeah, okay.
Now, that's his review. How many shakers would he give it? I don't know. But I thought that was interesting because I thought, for the time, it definitely does work. I mean, 1948?
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyways, they kill this guy, which you don't really know anything about him. He's dressed nice, just like they are. And then they put him in the trunk right in front of the place where they killed him.
Yeah, they're standing in front of a big, it's almost like a buffet table, like a big chest. Yeah. And they're, put him in there. Yeah.
And then I thought it definitely played into the suspense of it not cutting.
Yeah.
Because it just, the time just plays out. It all goes in real time.
Yep.
And that to me is like, well, now I'm interested. Like even a play, you know, fade to black the next day.
Yep.
We're not doing that here.
Nope.
It is like, we are starting from this minute and then we're going to get to an hour and a half later in time.
Yep.
And that's the end of
your story. Real time. All
that
real
time. That is fucking cool.
Yeah.
That's a great concept.
I love that.
Me too. So they decide, okay, we just killed this guy, our friend David. You find out later it's their friend. Don't know why they kill him yet. And they put him in the trunk. And one guy is like fucking, it seems like he's like turned on by this. Like he is like, Brandon is like into it. Philip seems to have instant regret. Like, what have we just done?
Why did we
do this?
Yeah, shouldn't have done that.
Fuck. Then you realize they are having a party for David, which is the guy they just killed that night. It's gonna start in like 20 minutes, and everyone's gonna come and see David off or celebrate David or whatever the fuck. I forget why they're having the party. And so it really is in real time of them like coming to terms with the fact they just killed their friend David. Then you see like people like the housekeeper, what is her name? Her name is Mrs. Wilson.
Okay.
Shows up with like the food and the stuff. So the second they kill him, like, I mean, a minute later, this lady shows up. Like, I got the food for the drinks for the party. We're all ready to go. We got champagne, whatever. We're celebrating tonight. And she's like preparing that. They go back to the chest, and then Phelps freaking out, like, we're going to get fucking caught. Why do we do this? And sees the rope they used to kill him hanging outside the thing.
Oh, yeah.
They take the rope, puts in his pocket, and he's like, I'll put it with, in like, he says, keeps in the utensil drawer. I don't know why you put rope there. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
There, but I don't know. And then seemingly the party is set to begin, and they are just ready to fucking have this party. At the last minute, Brandon is feeling super cocky about what they just did and decides, Mrs. Wilson is deciding to, like, you know, get the dining room table all ready, but he wants everyone to be part of this more.
Yeah.
And so what he does in his, like, a sick macabre thought is, like, I'm going to have all the food served on top of the chest, and inside the chest is going to be David dead. And I want everyone to be, like, but I want this to be the centerpiece of the night, because it is the centerpiece of the night. And so they move everything there, and then the party begins. Did I miss anything?
I don't think so.
I mean, that's kind of
that's
a simple,
the gist of it.
I mean, that's the gist. We got the gist. So off the bat, I'm already like, well, this is fucking dark. You know, I didn't. It's Hitchcock, of course, is a good bit. I think of 1948. You kind of like, I don't know. It's always cheesy, you know. And so like,
yeah, of course.
And I was like, oh, this is pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
I don't know. And the fact that, like, oh yeah, we invited David's girlfriend and his best friend and his dad and his aunt, they're all coming here for this party. And who is James Stewart? He's the, I can't figure out who he was, some kind of professor at their prep school, I think.
Yeah.
And it seemingly was Brandon and Philip, the two people who killed David. Those seemed like they were the three that were like friends together at this prep school.
Yeah.
And so seemingly too, it's like, well, why did they kill him? We'll have to find out later, I suppose. But did we really find out? I don't know. So everyone shows up to the party, and the whole party's asking, where's David? And then it just becomes a whole thing where Brandon is just continuously fucking with everyone and like loving every second of this. To the thing, like, you know, like talking to David's best friend is named Kenneth. And Kenneth and David's girlfriend, Janet, used to go together until they ended up breaking up, and then David came along, and now they're whatever. But then Kenneth has been like, yeah, I still was with Gina. I don't know why I broke up with her. And then Brandon's like, oh, you know what? I think you have a better shot than you think. He keeps saying weird stuff like that. David's late. I don't know where David could be. Yeah, well, you know, classic David. It's like, no, he's always on time. Well, he won't be tonight. It's like, well, how do you know? It's like weird.
Yeah.
He's just fucking with everyone.
And we should say, too, James Stewart's character, yeah, he was their housemaster.
Okay.
Their prep school. And they were kind of inspired to do the murder. They're just kind of freaks anyway. There are in terms of like, you know, ooh, wouldn't that be? Ooh, wouldn't that? You know, they're kind of edgy.
Well, yeah, I'm definitely saying too. They're like they're one percenters. They're like very high in society.
Yeah,
we went to a prep school.
Exactly, and then they are apparently were inspired kind of to do it by James Stewart's character,
right?
Who kind of talked about the intellectual concepts. Behind that, like, oh, it's kind of, you know, showing your superiority over
like
other people.
Who
you know,
should? Like, there's a whole part of this movie where they're talking about murder.
Yeah,
and they're really getting into like, well, I think people who have higher stature in life should decide who can like. Why can't we decide?
Kind of a Nietzsche school of thought. You know, they're talking philosophy. They're talking whatever. But that's what kind of inspires them.
Yeah, you can see like, that is what it was. It was him who probably spawned the idea of this thing.
Yeah.
And like David's dad in that part is like, well, surely you're joking. And he's like, I'm not joking. I think that, you know, some people should have, you know, honestly, I had the idea like this was like the Purge. A little bit, you know, where it's like we should have a strangulation week or a day of stabbing or whatever. It's like, isn't that what the Purge is? Where it's like, and then the next
for one day, murder's legal.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And I feel like I do feel like whoever wrote that movie had seen Rope and was that's a good idea.
Are you pro Purge? Like, should they do that IRL?
I don't think so.
One day, murder's legal. I'm just trying to think. What's the pros and cons? I don't want to get killed.
I don't want to get killed. I don't want to kill anyone.
Don't say that.
And I don't want anyone I know and love to be killed.
There's a lot of annoying like tweets.
I don't hate anyone enough to want them dead.
Some of the streamers, dude, like, my take on this. What a shitty take, you know? Like,
I
don't know. I'm just saying, think about it. That's all. Think about it.
Yeah. What is the saying? Like, there was some person that was like, I don't want. What was it? Like, I don't want wish death on anyone, but there are some funerals that I'll have a toast to or something like that. It was something like that where it's like, there's no one I want dead, but there's some people when they die. Yeah. Good. Riddance.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something like that.
Hey, Batman Begins, dude. I will not be an executioner. He doesn't kill. And then when the train's going down, he's like, well, but I don't have to save you.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yep, that's the theme. Da da da
da
da
da da da da da. But da da. Okay.
Batman flies away and it goes da 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 da. Seriously, when I was in LA the other day, saw the full VHS collection. They had all of Next Generation,
how that is
original series, and Deep Space Nine and Voyager.
I can't even imagine how many cassettes that would be.
It was a lot.
How much was each cassette?
I don't know. It was thousands.
Now,
for
was
all
it in
of
a
them.
Collection? I probably wouldn't sell it individually.
I think that's
you gotta
what
buy it all
because one. No one was. I was like, all the volumes are here. Oh,
it had to be sold.
I think it's one
because I would think there was a couple episodes I would want on VHS.
Yeah,
like because my favorite ones.
Yeah,
but like, I can't imagine.
I was like, I
gotta watch that show.
I was in that it was kind of a comic store, I guess, collectible store. And I was like, which one does he have the flute?
That's
when does he get the flute?
Season 5, Inner Light.
They wouldn't sell it to me.
Best one.
Well, they tell him there's three lights. Which one?
Oh, that's a different one. That's like season 6 or 7.
Yeah, I know.
No, you don't. You haven't seen the show.
I knew that was its own episode because these are always listed in best episode lists.
Dude,
which
you should
I disagree.
Watch the show. Why?
It doesn't look good.
I'm telling you. Space? I think you would like it.
Every time I've watched it, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I do think I just haven't that, had like, time. You even the first seasons, which like you can hear them walking on the soundstage.
Yeah, I love that. Good.
But it's so bad that I think you'd get a kick out of the corniness, and then it actually gets good as time goes on.
Is this still on any? They're on like Paramount.
Paramount Plus.
Paramount has all of Star Trek.
Yeah.
That's kind of amazing. All right. I'm making my way through Mad Men right now, and I'm just putting on like while I'm doing stuff at home, and it's like, this is great. So maybe that'll be my next one.
I think it should be. It's good.
Okay. And people at home, at
this
point,
the aesthetic of it is like, it used to be like whatever, but now it's like, oh, this fucking rules.
Oh, yeah.
It is all liminal spaces. Like, it's all that.
Yeah.
And even, like, the outfits are, like, super high. It's good. Whenever they're, like, on, like, their break, it's always, like, Patrick Stewart, like, in, like, shirtless, wearing, like, this, like, little, like, frock. It's, like, it's sick. It's awesome.
Oh, man.
Back to rope.
Yeah.
Back to rope. So.
Let's rope it back in.
Well, okay. You know, there are a lot of things that we could go into the, because it's all about the small little things.
Yes.
And it's Jimmy Stewart showing, James Stewart, whatever. What do we call him? He's the same thing.
Yeah, I like him, so I call him Jimmy Stewart, but.
I like Jimmy Stewart
was his,
But they always say James Stewart, but like it's Jimmy Stewart.
His proper name, but who cares? He's dead.
Is he?
Yeah.
I'm just joking. I knew that. You know, he shows up and he starts talking like little things like, oh yeah, Brandon, I remember you always loved the story of in prep school of the girl who climbed into her own chest and then she ended up dying there and they didn't find her later until like 10 years later and she was a skeleton in the chest the whole time. And he's saying this over the chest of the dead body right now.
Wow.
And it is like, you know, this is little things like that. That's what this is, you know? So let's kind of get a little further. I mean, we've talked a lot, but we can go quickly into what happens here. So the part I really want to get into is like they all have a dinner party. They all celebrating. They're drinking champagne. No one knows why they're drinking champagne. It's a very fancy occasion, whatever. Yeah. The food, people are hardly touching. It's kind of a weird choice. It's all weird. They all sense there's a weird aura at this party. David never shows up. People are getting worried, whatever. Then it gets to the point where they have the conversation about murder. The kind of like everyone who's there is like, I'm not really having a good time at this fucking party. Like, what are we doing at this party? I might take off early. People start leaving. The housekeeper, Miss Wilson, starts clearing off the chest.
Oh yeah, yeah.
This shot, I thought, was the most suspenseful and the most Hitchcock part of the whole movie.
Yeah.
Because it's the shot is people talking. She is not one of the people talking. She's just cleaning off the fucking chest. But it is just the chest and the stuff on the chest and her going off into like the kitchen and putting stuff away.
Yeah.
And then comes back and takes another thing and puts it away. And the whole conversation is happening off screen. And you just see things getting removed more and more and more. And then eventually she takes these books and is going to put them seemingly back in the chest.
Yeah.
And it is like no one notices that she is doing this.
Yeah.
She's doing just normal shit.
So, oh man.
But it is like 5 minutes of her just doing this and being like, oh man, she's just going to find this fucking body. Like, and like his dad's there, his girlfriend's there. Like, this is going to be a fucking scene when they find this body. Yep. And then right as she lifts the lid, Brandon comes over and puts it back down. Oh, no, Miss Wilson, let's not put the books away.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll do that tomorrow. And like so smooth and cocky about it. But that scene in particular was like, this is fucking awesome. This is so suspenseful.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love that.
Yeah, me too.
Then, agreed. Brandon, to be super nice to David's dad, gives him a series of first edition books that he has, and he's happy to give it to him. But to give them to him in a bundle, he ties the books together with the same rope he used to kill his son.
Yeah.
Because he's fucked up.
Yeah, like which the other dude is just like, what the fuck are you doing? What
really
are you doing?
It does seem like the whole time Philip is like, you are, fuck this. And then he just keeps doing things to make it worse and worse and worse. And Brandon is just loving every second of it.
Yeah.
Then everyone leaves. James Stewart, though, is like, this is fucking weird. Like, he gets this weird vibe. Like, I'm going to go, but, like, this is weird.
Yeah.
Then everyone leaves, and they're basically, like, Brandon is like getting off on how they got away with it, how great that went. Philip does not have a good time.
He's like,
he's like,
somebody's got to figure this out
now.
Yeah, he's losing it.
We gotta get rid of this fucking body. I hated tonight. Tonight sucked. We should have never done this.
Yep.
They open up the chest to get rid of the body, and just as they do, they get a phone call, and it's from Jimmy Stewart, who is like, "Oh, I forgot my cigarette case."
No, you gotta say, "No, well, I suppose I forgot my cigarette case." Forgot my cigarette case. I can't fucking do it.
You're not good at it.
Kevin is way better at it. Oh,
Kevin is a fucking master.
He left. I was trying to get him in here.
So then Philip starts freaking out. And then you can see Brandon maybe gets a little bit nervous in this
like,
moment.
Yeah, this isn't good. But
like, I don't want him to come back. It will be fine. We'll give him a drink, whatever he wants, and we'll get him out of here.
Yeah.
It's fine. And we're going to go up to the country together. It's okay. Jimmy Stewart comes up, but Brandon is nervous and has a gun in his pocket, which he loads in case they have to duel away with Jimmy Stewart. And so, but he's still the cocky, arrogant self. He's whatever. He's fine. Jimmy Stewart comes in and is immediately drawn to the chest. He knows that there's some shit afoot.
Yeah.
He puts a cigarette case that he had the whole time on the chest. And then it's just kind of like, just, I'm going to have a drink. Maybe I'll make it a big one. I don't feel like leaving yet. But it was a great night. We'll probably should have partying in just to see how they react.
Yeah.
He's just fucking with them at this point. Then he gets to the point where he's like, he says, like, I know you have a gun in your pocket. He's like, oh, what, this thing? Oh, no, it wasn't for you, Rupert. No, 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 absolutely not.
Oh, we have burglars all the time around here.
Safe in the country. I don't know. And then they wrestle. Oh, then Jimmy Stewart is like, I'm going to open up this fucking trunk in the chest.
Yeah.
He does it, and he sees the body. He sees David. But you don't see David, but he does. He then regrets everything he ever told these boys. Like, I should have never told you my theory. I regret everything now. This is a mistake. He gets the gun. He wrestles it. It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Then instead of calling the police, which I thought he would do, opens up the window and just fires three shots into the air.
Yeah, which I would have just called the police because the you're not supposed to do that.
You know, you're not. But it was effective because you hear people say, "Was that gunshots? Oh, it came from that apartment." Well, you better
call the law.
Call the law. Oh, here they come! And you hear like the sirens or whatever. And
yep.
And then so at that point, Philip and Brandon know the jig is up.
Yep.
And they are fucked. And so they just kind of sit there. Brandon pours himself one last drink. Philip sits at the piano and starts playing it because he just doesn't know what else to do. And Jimmy Stewart is revolted in the fact that because of his words, he killed David. And that's the end. It just ends there.
Short movie.
Short movie. Sweet movie.
Yep.
I thought it was, I was riveted the whole time, honestly.
Yeah. I'm telling you, if these movies that are chamber pieces that are again, movies should not fundamentally typically be like a play, but if you can do it and do it well, you have the opportunity to trap me in a room with, oh, I gotta get out of here. You know what I mean? That's what I thought Hateful Eight was great at doing.
Yeah.
Hateful Eight. It's like, oh, fuck. That guy's dead. I know he's going to do something, you know, if you do it well, for suspense purposes, it can work. It can really, really, really be compelling, you know?
And so
this movie to me did that. This movie to me, I'm just like, get the body out of there. It's in there. Don't go.
But
over
again,
there,
like
you know?
You really don't, I don't know what to think because I want them to go face justice, but I'm also freaking out for them.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you were saying. Like if they were both freaking out, this wouldn't be a fun time.
Yeah.
Like it would be like, why'd you do this? Yeah. But you needed Brandon to be super cocky and like twisting the knife adding the rope to the books and all these things just to fuck with everyone.
Yeah.
But you also need Philip to be like, why did we do? Why have we done this? Yeah.
Now what's funny about when they were talking about, again, adapting it is I told you that was one of the changes they made. It was like, instead of having them both be like, blah, blah, let's have one of them, you know, they're kind of enjoying this. They're kind of whatever. Mm-hmm. One of the things, where was I going with that? What were we talking about before that? I lost my train of thought.
We're talking about what?
What were you just saying before?
What was I saying? I don't remember.
Oh, my God. I lost my train of thought.
Welcome to my life.
Oh, shit.
This is what I always do.
They changed that. What was I just talking about? You were just saying keeping...
You know what? While you think about it, I'm sorry. I can't be of help because I am useless. I will tell you that Alfred Hitchcock originally promised the writer that they were not going to show the murder. And so the whole time...
I just thought of it. Yeah.
I knew
okay.
you would. The whole time they were wondering... He wanted you to wonder, did they actually kill someone?
Yeah.
But at the last second, he changed it so you do see them murder him. But I don't know which is more effective.
So that was another part of actually what I was going to bring up is they had a disagreement on the guy who helped write it or adapt it or whatever. I'm sorry if I'm getting that wrong, but he was like, I'll tell you what I don't like about this movie. I don't like that the body's in the room. Mm. I don't like that he's in the trunk the whole time. I think you shouldn't have seen the murder. I think you should know, like, maybe not know where the body is. Because to me, if it's in the room, okay, well, then when's that getting found? Right. He said that removed the suspense for him. But I don't know. To me,
no.
He's totally wrong. And this is why Hitchcock is the master of suspense. Put the body in the middle of the room where everyone's congregating and you're going, fuck, don't open that. Fuck.
Also, the latch on this spring won't lock. And it's like, oh my God, it won't even lock? You can't even lock the fucking trunk?
Yeah.
But again, it is like... That's why that whole scene I talked about of like the housekeeper putting things away.
Yeah.
Where's the suspense in that if you don't know the body's in there? You need to see the body.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't need to see him be murdered, but it definitely added to like, oh my God, like this is fucking insane.
Yeah.
I disagree.
I don't know. I thought that was in terms of showing the murder, I think Hitchcock knows what he's doing. It's a compelling opening.
You know,
as soon as a movie starts.
Oh, you're in.
Here's the thing that's going to ruin this is the movie.
What Rocco told me about, which I was also reading, I did not realize, there is a scene, a bonus scene, that's the trailer of this movie, that is like David and his girlfriend Janet at the park. Nothing to do
with this
at all. I did too.
The one scene before it all went down.
Yeah, and you see David, and he's at the park bench with Janet. You see that they're in love. Talking about getting married, and then he says, like, I'm going to go to my 2:30 appointment, and I'll see you at the party tonight. And then it's like, and that was the last time she would ever see him alive. And then it cuts to Jimmy Stewart explaining what's going to happen.
And then he's like, and that's also the last time you'll see him alive. Yeah. In the movie Rope.
Yeah, but like how...
Coming soon.
Now, that part of the trailer was awesome. The rest of the trailer was spoiling the whole
movie. Yeah, they just show the rest of it.
Which is what they did back then. But that was such an interesting thing that like they never leave the apartment in the movie, but in the trailer, you're allowed to.
Yeah.
And he showed you more. I thought that was so cool.
Yeah.
It was like a little prequel.
Yeah, that really was neat.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to point out, we did do that same thing with our movie Mega 64 version 4.1.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Revenge Erection.
Yep.
We did a trailer. The first trailer for it was a prequel scene. So, you know, who ripped off who? Well, okay, we ripped.
Well, I hadn't seen it yet.
We didn't know Rope did that.
We didn't know. It was a coincidence. But we're on the same wavelength as Hitchcock.
Yeah, we're basically Hitchcock. We're like triple Hitchcocks.
Watch
Triple Hitchcocks sounds like a No More Heroes boss.
It does. And you know what? I don't like that.
Wow.
Looking at the cast... You know, and
it's shitty.
I don't know why I get fixated like watching a movie like this. And like, I could find out how you all die. And I don't know why that, it's like a weird thing to me where it's like, you just like see like what happened. A lot of them died of cancer young. And I can tell
you don't say.
They smoked a lot in this movie.
What?
There was a shitload of smoking.
I'm so used to it now because as I mentioned, going through Mad Men, I don't even see cigarettes anymore. Sean, I've seen so many cigarettes lit and smoked over the past 3 weeks, I'm numb to it that if you handed me a cigarette, I probably wouldn't even think about it. I'd just be like, yeah, so we got this video due next week. What do you want to do? What do you think is the best way to, what tagline should we put at the end? I mean, it's got to be, I mean, that just seems like a natural thing to do now.
Mm-hmm.
I've been desensitized, which is proof media desensitizes you. No more violent video games.
That's it. I will say this, and this is impressive to me. The person, and I don't know why this matters, it doesn't, but the guy who was his best friend, what's his name, his character name? What was your name? Kenneth, the guy who was like wanting to get back with Janet and then whatever.
Yeah.
He lived the longest. This dude, he lived all the way to 2015.
No
Can
shit.
Can you believe that?
Wow.
He was 95.
Damn, nice.
Right? Fucking killed it.
Bet he didn't smoke.
I bet you're right. He probably didn't. He was a psychologist later in life. But he was born in 1920. Anyways, I always love it when it's like, yeah, you fucking... 2015, good for you. You were in Rope.
You knew.
And you were in Rope and you could have watched version 1, 2, and 3. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, dude.
And I'm sure he did.
I'm sure he loved it.
Positive.
All right. Let's get into the shakers, if you will.
Okay.
You picked it. I believe. So you can go first.
I love Hitchcock. I love what he does. By the way, a little bit of technical extra thing here.
Yeah.
You know I'm always bringing up when shit's in 4K.
I do.
I want to watch shit in 4K. I got a 4K TV. Let's take advantage of it. This got a new 4K Blu-ray around the holidays. That's when I got it. I got this for Christmas. Mm-hmm. This thing was looking crisp.
Mm.
Oh, the opening. As soon as it starts, I'm like, damn, this looks good. It's 4x3. It's not widescreen, but man, they made it pop.
Now, I watched it on this.
Yeah.
I don't know what the screen is on this.
Are you talking about your liquid retina display?
Because it looked beautiful on this. I was like, yeah, whoa.
I actually don't know what the resolution is on the MacBook Air.
Well, this was amazing.
But the screens are great.
It looked really good.
Yeah. And I think maybe they've updated that. Is that what you were talking about that got updated?
Yes.
That's what. Okay, sorry. To bring it back to that, yeah. The new 4K scan of this movie looks crisp.
So good.
So that was impressive. I love Hitchcock. Master of Suspense. This is a basic ass, simple ass movie filmed in 1948, but it's still as suspenseful as anything today. The filmmaking is still impressive. I mean, it's that old and you're not going old janky. Nope. It's like, wow, damn, you killed it. And considering their cameras were bigger than Mars, that's even more impressive.
Yeah.
And let me say, I didn't get to say this earlier. I love the set.
The set was cool.
And the background.
The backdrop.
The background. There's like buildings off of the distance, but it's like, oh, they kind of are 3D models.
Yeah, and it's like the Chrysler building. Yeah. You can see the building. You can recognize them.
And I'm seeing clouds that might be cotton.
Oh,
and
that
I'm
is
like,
definitely
oh,
cotton.
I love this.
Yeah, me too.
It just does everything that I want to see. Great filmmaking, cool sets. Great suspense. And, you know, I can't hate. I'm a Jimmy Stewart guy.
Me too. Love Jimmy Stewart.
So, solid 4 for me. 4 out of 5 for me. I really enjoyed it. I don't like it as much as his bigger heavy hitters, but this should not be left out of the conversation.
You know,
this is worth watching.
I would say, like, and to me, Hitchcock is best when he is confined in a room. Even Rear Window, you're confined in that apartment with Jimmy Stewart.
Yep.
And yeah, he looks out, you see the world around him, but he's stuck there. And what his view is all they have for the movie, which is awesome. And which is why I love that movie so much. This movie, I felt, is in the same vein. And to me, it was like the fact that like you made me uncomfortable or like I was like, oh, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, I've seen a lot more fucked up shit than people were exposed to back then.
Yeah.
You know, so like. I was impressed by the whole movie.
Yeah, it still works.
The acting I thought was great.
Yeah, as old as it is, it's still contemporary in that
so
sense.
So I'm also going to give it 4 shakers.
Wow.
And I would add this, you know, I haven't found a Hitchcock movie that I haven't liked. I think Vertigo so far is my least favorite, which is a hot take.
Hot take, because, man, that's at the top of a lot of people's lists.
I know.
Now, I'll just say, you know, it can go on forever, but directing-wise... maybe that is his best.
Okay,
in terms of, damn, he did this, he did that. The filmmaking is second to none.
Yeah.
One of my least favorite, too.
The story,
it
you know,
doesn't
and here's the
compel
thing.
Me. It really doesn't.
I should watch it again. I haven't seen it in at least 20 years.
Okay. I've seen it more recently.
Okay.
Again, so much more respect for, damn, this is fucking amazing filmmaking.
Yeah.
He went above and beyond. And I liked that he did a story that wasn't just, a twist. That was the twist. The end. It's a little less. It's his most like discussable kind of movie. So that kind of makes it neat in its own right. But yeah, that story just does not compel me.
When I was in English in senior year, did you do the Hitchcock package?
Yeah.
So we're the only people I know who did this. I don't know why I allowed it.
Yeah.
But thank God, because to me, of all things in high school, this is what I took home with. Like that is what I want to do. Like, yep. That is what I like.
Yeah.
I did that outfit. We didn't know. We always do like, oh, we're going to do the Roaring Twenties and read about that. It's like, okay, well, I'll read about the Great Gatsby again, I suppose. It's fine. But when we did a whole semester on Alfred Hitchcock movies and we watched The Birds, Vertigo, Rear Window, and Psycho. And I remember leaving those four and being like, I liked all of them, but Vertigo is my least favorite. Like, it just, I just didn't connect with me.
It just, that was I, me don't back then. What, yeah. I don't know what, yeah. You, I think you will like it more now.
I'm sure I would.
But I don't know how much more.
Mm.
I don't know if it'll be a lot.
Was that in that list of things I bought?
I'm sure it was. It's universal just like this was.
Yeah, I mean, I got, I don't know. If, oh, yeah, there it is. There it is. Yep, I got it.
Yeah.
Because I also.
Well, we got to do it at some point.
Torn Curtain. What is that? Rear Window. Psycho.
Yeah. We have to do Vertigo at some point.
Okay.
We'll do that later.
But people can be mad at us. I'm scared.
Yeah.
But
that's one worth revisiting.
I agree.
That's too big of a thing to not revisit. You know what they never included? Because I think it's a different studio.
Hmm.
North by Northwest.
That I don't have. Yeah.
When I got the Blu-ray, that Blu-ray box set that I mentioned for a million years ago.
Yeah.
That had it included. And I was like, oh, awesome. Didn't know how good I had it because they worked out a deal to include it because it's all Universal movies, except that one is like Paramount or something.
Weird.
Or something like that. And they worked out a deal to include it and they've never worked out that deal since because every time they put out a new box set or a new whatever, North by Northwest is not included.
Interesting.
So I want to rewatch. I remember enjoying that.
Yeah, too. But like, I don't have that one. Let's see, Northwest. Is it on? No. Can you buy it? You can buy it.
What is that? Try BritBox?
Try BitBox. What's BritBox?
What the fuck is BritBox?
Is that a
Republican news source?
I could buy it. I'm not going to buy it for $13. God.
Yeah, this is what I mean. North by Northwest is in this weird void right now.
Ugh. That's bullshit. Hey, anyways. That is Rope. Loved it. And I'm happy we watched it. Next week, it's Oscar season, baby. Yeah. And I haven't seen a lot of these Oscar nominees for Best Picture. So let's kind of go through a couple of them. Let's see what we can get before the actual award show. I have not seen Oppenheimer yet. I know you can't believe that, but it's true. You guess why? It's the runtime. But
I was going to say, a lot of people out there, I'm sure, are like, Oppenheimer, come on. You know, everyone's talked about it. Everyone's discussed it. What can we bring to the table? But Sean has a very strict allergy to long run times and bummer topics.
Yes.
And this has got it all.
Yeah, we got Killers of the Flower Moon Part 2.
So you might see Sean, a broken man. Well, I'm not talking about his ribs. Mm-mm. You may see a meltdown the likes of what that would make the Trinity test look like a box of match heads.
I don't think it's going to be. I've wanted to see this movie, honestly. I did want to see it. I haven't. So I will watch this movie and am I going to see it in theaters? Am I going to watch it just at home? Well, that's only time will tell. I was told it's best on a plane. That's what people said. Man. That's how you should watch it. So I might fly somewhere just to go watch it. Hey, anyways, thanks for subbing to Patreon, and we'll see you next week. Watch Oppenheimer if you haven't already. It's in theaters. You've probably seen it.
They like it.
You know what? I think I'm the last one.
We're going to see if you're on the wrong side of history. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, shit. Anyways. All right. Hey, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Get a rope.
What?